suddenly a new possibility was debated in Israel, and indeed discussed in the larger Jewish world. What would happen if Israel took Damascus? What if suddenly the Jewish state conquered one of the oldest and most famous cities in the Middle East? Would that be a sign of strength that would serve Israeli interests? Or were there other national security and political considerations to bear in mind were such a conquest to occur? Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 252, Between Jerusalem and Damascus. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Damascus is mentioned in Genesis around the same time as we find Shalem, the earliest scriptural name for Jerusalem. Both cities are ancient, and both are found in the Bible at the nexus of Middle Eastern politics and intrigue. Thus it is that in the Book of Kings, the prophet Elisha journeys to Damascus, or Damasek, while its king lies ill. One of the primary officials in the city, Hazael, asks Elisha whether the king will survive. Elisha says that the king should be told that he will survive, but Elisha further secretly informs Hazael that in fact the king will die, that Hazael will rule in his stead. And then the prophet begins to weep, knowing through foresight that as king, Hazael will wage war against the northern kingdom of Israel, with so many Israelites felled by the new ruler of Damascus. As the Book of Kings tells us, "And Hazael said, Why weepeth my lord? And he answered, Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel." Sent to do a mission in Damascus, Elisha in the moment could not help but think about the well-being of his people, and in so doing, he revealed why he was worthy of being a prophet in the first place. Hazael then enters the bedchamber of the king of Damascus and brings the king's life to a close, as the Book of Kings goes on. "And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it over his face so that he died, and Hazael reigned in his stead." Thus, thousands of years ago, we find Damascus as a site of politics and power plays, as well as a site from which war against Eretz Yisrael is launched. It is therefore so striking to realize that thousands of years later, both the city of Jerusalem and the city of Damascus were centers that were important for Middle Eastern affairs. In Egypt, the ancient capitals, Thebes, Memphis, or even the later Alexandria, were by 1973 no more. But Jerusalem and Damascus were squared off against one another. And this conflict was, rightly understood, its own chapter in the Yom Kippur War, one very much worth remembering today. During the first terrifying days of the Yom Kippur War, as the Egyptian army advanced and many Israeli soldiers were valiantly fighting and tragically falling on the Golan, the IDF heads pondered the possibility of a severe strike at Damascus itself, which they believed would not only mark a defeat for Syria, but also help them gain leverage against Egypt to the south. In a fascinating discussion of only recently released minutes from the 73 war, the paper Israel Hayom tells us that the Army Chief of Staff, Dado, or David Elazar, suggesting that a severe strike might be necessary, said, quote, "I want a dramatic turning point. I want someone to cry Gewalt," adding, "We're in a catastrophe," end quote. As the article further tells us, one of the major discussions was whether a direct strike on Damascus would ease the pressure on Israelis in the field and help lead to a ceasefire, or whether it would further complicate the situation. The article quotes some of the minutes from the meeting, with redaction as part of the citation. The article in Israel Hayom tells us, quote, "Documentation of a different discussion reveals a bit more, while still concealing much of what took place in those early chaotic days. Then Deputy Chief of Staff Major General Israel Talik Tal discusses bombing Damascus. I know that we haven't agreed finally. It's too serious and fateful a matter either way. I don't accept the assumption about the effects that would break the enemy. That is to say, if I were 100% certain, redacted, I would say, let's go. It's possible this might not solve anything, and our situation would be a million times worse." End quote. So Israel Hayom tells us. The Times of Israel, in an article about these same minutes, tells us that it was Yigal Alon who suggested bombing Damascus. But that idea, according to the minutes of the meeting, was to some extent rejected. We are told that, quote, "The IDF Chief of Staff dismissed the recommendation by Alon, who had served as a major general in the 1948 Independence War, arguing that such an attack on a Syrian city would likely draw a similar retaliation against the Israeli home front." And the article adds, "Ultimately, the IDF would indeed bomb a number of times in Damascus, beginning with a major bombardment of the Syrian military's general staff headquarters in the capital on October 9. However, those airstrikes were retaliatory, coming in response to a Syrian missile barrage that hit the Israeli Air Force's Ramat David base, killing one pilot and injuring several airmen, as well as several nearby civilian communities," end quote. Ultimately, as we know, the IDF turned the tide on the Syrian front and retook the Golan. And then a very different question began to be debated. How far should Israel go? Francine Klagsburn, in her biography of Golda Meir, writes, quote, "After recapturing much of the Golan, Israel's military leaders wrestled with what to do next on the Syrian front. Should they dig in and consolidate the positions they had won along the 1967 ceasefire line, known as the Purple Line? If they did that, they would be able to send one of their divisions to the south to help the troops there hold out against the Egyptians. Or should they use all their divisions to make a bold counterattack against the Syrians, push them back from the Purple Line, and head toward Damascus? They had to act quickly because Iraqi troops were on their way to reinforce the Syrian army, and King Hussein might jump into the fray with his Jordanian forces. After hours of discussion without reaching a conclusion, the military men carried their dilemma to their civilian prime minister for her verdict. Golda chose to cross the old ceasefire line and push on to Damascus. In her elemental way, she reasoned that it would take 4 days to move forces from the north to the southern Egyptian front. And if during that time the UN ordered a ceasefire, Israel would have nothing to show for its grueling days of war. It would have lost territory in the south and gained nothing new in the north. Accordingly, on Thursday, October 11, Israeli forces began a counterattack in the north that after some days of fierce fighting brought them within 20 miles of the Syrian capital and left Syrian forces and armor decimated." End quote. Thus, Israel began to forge into Syria, and suddenly a new possibility was debated in Israel, and indeed discussed in the larger Jewish world. What would happen if Israel took Damascus? What if suddenly the Jewish state conquered one of the oldest and most famous cities in the Middle East? Would that be a sign of strength that would serve Israeli interests? Or were there other national security and political considerations to bear in mind were such a conquest to occur? The possibility of conquering Damascus was ultimately rejected by Golda Meir's military advisors, but a striking quote from Menachem Begin about this subject is given to us by biographer Avi Shilon. Begin, as we have mentioned, was at this point in the opposition, not a member of the government, but he was still part of the Knesset committee discussions about the war. Shilon cites Yitzhak Navon, who had insisted to the prime minister's advisor Yisrael Galili that going as far as Damascus would be a mistake for Israel, that it would inflame the Arab world to the extent that it would lead to greater trouble for the Jewish state. But Navon further reports that Begin, meeting Galili as part of a Knesset committee, said the following, quote, "I would like us to go to Damascus with the tanks, take the Jews, put them on the tanks, and bring them here. I would like that," end quote. In other words, Begin said that the IDF should go to Damascus and rescue the Syrian Jews that were there and bring them back to Eretz Yisrael in the tanks. Speaking affectionately about Begin, Navon said of him and of this moment, he was a romantic. So Navon said, "But for me, what Begin expressed is more than just romanticism, whatever the strategic implications of his suggestion. For Begin, in this discussion, the tanks, as he saw it, could be used not only to protect Israelis from Syria, but to save Jews in Syria. Whatever one makes of the military feasibility of this proposal, it is to me striking that at this moment of severe trial for Israel, Begin thought not only about victory in the war, not only about preserving the safety and security of Israel, though of course he did think of that, but he also thought of utilizing the moment to save the Jews in Syria that were still living under a tyrannical regime." The fact is that when we ponder how two cities, Jerusalem and Damascus, were at the heart of world politics in the biblical era, and then at the heart of world politics thousands of years later, it is hard to find a parallel to this. We do not find today, say, Rome at war with Carthage. And that was a war that originally took place many years after the age of Elisha. To ponder the parallels to the biblical past is to realize the mysterious endurance and eternity of the Jewish people, and therefore the bond that connects Jews everywhere. Menachem Begin understood this bond, and it was of this bond that he thought when the tide had turned. He thought not only of victory, but also of Jews in need, of bringing Jews home. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.